Open up your Bibles to John chapter 16. We'll continue on with our building blocks of faith just to make sure we have a strong foundation for operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. He shows us continually how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you that he's always here to teach us and guide us. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given unto us. We thank you that we've been seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we praise you for these things in the name of Jesus. This is an important thing to remember. People don't have to be cool. They don't have to be super anointed. They don't have to be super knowledgeable. They have to know the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Don't ever, ever attempt anything outside of the name of Jesus. You know, whether we're praying for people, whether you're confronting the devil, whether you're, whatever you're doing, if you're praying, whatever you're doing, use the name of Jesus. See, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That means you do the asking, he does the doing. He said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that's what he give you. So he told us to use his name when we pray to God. That's an important thing. Sometimes people get confused. We pray to God in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't pray to anything else. We pray to God. Now we do fellowship with Jesus and we praise Jesus and we worship Jesus. But he told us to pray to God, the Father. So it's important not to be mixed up about that. John chapter 16, verse 23. John chapter 16, verse 23 says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. See, Jesus, that's Jesus speaking there. He is concerned about our joy being full. You know, sometimes I've heard people say you should never pray for yourself. Jesus just gave us the directions right there. And the reason why. That our joy would be full. How else are we going to receive it? Go out and work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day? Well, that's the way the world operates. They have to. They don't have a loving Heavenly Father to bestow gifts upon us. Amen? But here, he's telling us about his name. We've seen that the believer is a brand new creature in Christ. He's the righteousness of God. And he's been elevated to a position of high authority in the spirit realm. And all believers, you get a hold of this. All believers possess the authority to enjoy faith victories through the use of Jesus' name. This is a promise to all disciples. Not just pastors, not just televangelists, not just the fivefold. All believers. All believers have been given the name of Jesus. And you can operate in these faith victories. It's wonderful to know that you have such a powerful name that has been given to you to use. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is what Jesus said to you. This is what he said to use his name for. This was the last thing he told his disciples before he left. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, do all those things in his name. See, this is where the adventure, this is where the adventure starts. When you go out there, sometimes people tend to get zeroed in on their own thing. And it's good to pray for yourself and receive the things that God has given you, but it's just as important to go out there and share Jesus with the world. That's where it gets exciting. That's where you see the neat stuff. That's where you see people get set free. That's where you see people get born again. And every once in a while, they'll come tripping in here and they get born again. More often than not, it's out there where they, a believer introduces them to Jesus. They get set free. You know, you can cast out devils out there. You can lay hands on the sick out there and watch them recover. That's when it gets really, really fun. Sometimes people just don't think they can do it, but Jesus just said you can. And he actually told you to. That's our mission. If you ever wonder what God's will for you is, right there. If you ever wondered, does God have a purpose for me? Right there it is. It's right there. It's there. Now, there's a lot of other things we can do, but this is the thing right here. This is the spreading the gospel. This is the sharing the good news, getting people born again. That's what the disciples, the early disciples did in the book of Acts. They just, some of them dropped everything they were doing. Some of them just stopped and devoted everything they had to sharing Jesus. Amen? Some of them worked, but they shared Jesus all the time. Paul was a tent maker. In some places he went, he helped make tents, but he still kept on sharing the gospel. They went about their daily life sharing Jesus with people. And they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament. They had the spoken word. Then somebody wrote it down and gave us the written word. That's even better. We can just open up the Bible and use that. Jesus said that miracles would follow all believers. Think about that. Jesus said that miracles would follow all believers. I remember being so frustrated, thinking, man, how did these guys get this special anointing to do all this stuff? Am I supposed to just kind of grind it out, tell people about Jesus, and maybe they'll stay alive long enough till they can get in contact with one of these anointed preachers or something? You know, and then I thought, do I got to fast a long time? Do I have to pray all the time? What do I got to do? Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the only anointing you need to be concerned with. Use the name of Jesus. It really is that simple. You know, it's not complicated. Jesus made it so simple for us. We just got to use the name of Jesus. Trust in Him. He's the doer. We do the praying, He does the doing. Now go to John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus again. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." There's the key. Right there. You don't have to be a hot rod. You use the name of Jesus. He said, you do the asking, he'll do the doing. That takes the pressure off of you and puts it on Jesus where it belongs. Amen? I remember thinking, man, where am I missing it at? And I was getting on my knees asking God to forgive me all the time. I was trying to fast. I was doing everything I could think of. Instead of just believing Jesus and taking him at his word and following the directions. Once I started doing that, things leveled out. And then it wasn't about me no more, it was about him. And he gave me his name to use, so that's all I do. Sometimes I just open up the Bible and just read it word for word. That's smart. Amen. So, all the arguing, doubt, and unbelief in the world cannot change what Jesus said. He puts you on equal ground with him. I remember thinking about some of these things, studying, I said, why can I operate in some of these things? I'd ask somebody, and they said, no, that's for the special anointing here and the special anointing there. And I thought, man, it just seems to me like if Peter could do it, I should be able to do it. Or if Paul could do it, I should be able to do it. And they said, no, those are special anointed apostles. There's all kinds of different excuses on why I wasn't able to do certain things. And then I said, that just doesn't seem right. And then I ran into this verse. And I thought, there's no authority above Jesus. And he said that we could do these things. Jesus said you could do the same things he did, then you can operate in every single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can operate in miracles, prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You could do the same things Jesus did. Has to be. Or that verse is a lie. I'm going to take Jesus at his word. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak of the man." So right there said Jesus never changes. Jesus said he can do it, then we can do it. Either take him at his word or you're calling him a liar. You know, there's a lot of people that they don't know they're doing it. They don't intend to, but they call God a liar because they go against his word. If they say you can't do something that the Bible says you can, then they've called God a liar. Jesus said you can do all these things. Who's right? Theologian or God? I think God's got them outranked on this one, don't you? Amen. It's kind of crazy, but it seems like a lot of times theologians spend more time trying to prove the Bible wrong than they do in trying to find out why it's right and how we can line ourselves up with that so we can operate in it too. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. You'll hear somebody say, well, that was for the early church. That was for setting up the church. That was for the book of Acts. That was for the apostles or whatever. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. What he said when he was on this earth is still just as true today as it was then. His word will not die. He said, you can do it, you can do it. We got to just sit down and feed on these things and get them in our hearts and realize that if he said we can do it, we can do it. One good verse you can meditate on is, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's a good one to remember. That's like one of the first ones I've ever memorized. I think the first thing I memorized is, with God, all things are possible. I was having a really hard time. And I didn't know anything else, but I'd figured out I needed to meditate on something. So I ran around saying, with God, all things are possible. And then I got another one. But I noticed something about the word was changing me. And I could even see it. It was changing me. I wasn't changing me. The word was changing me. Which was really baffling, because I had tried to make these changes in my life before and I couldn't do it. But the Word could. You know, one thing I noticed is back then I had a raging temper. I had managed to get clean and sober, but man, somebody across me, all the blood would flow to my head and I would get in these rages. And somehow I figured out that when I got that way, I could just go home and I could open up my Bible and I could read. And I didn't know where to find the answer to whatever I was fighting, but I could just start reading the New Testament. And all that stuff would go away. And then I'd be okay again. Man, that's pretty cool. And then I go back and I read the Bible. And I get back down. You know, there's actual studies that they've done that the words in the Bible change you. It actually changes your cells. It does something to your cells and actually causes healthy cells to be moving around in you. I don't know all the science to it, but you can think negative and bad all the time, and these negative cells do whatever they got to do. They get stronger, but you get positive and start thinking in God's word, start saying his word, and these positive cells start coming in control. He sent his word and it healed them. You know, you can read his word and believe his word and get healed without anybody praying for you. That's happened before. I've seen, you know, just people come in contact with the anointing And they don't have to be born again. One of the neatest things I seen one time, I was watching Benny Hinn, and during praise and worship service, people started leaving wheelchairs, started dropping crutches, getting healed. And one time this lady, she got healed and she came up. He hadn't really preached much. They'd been singing. They got in contact with that anointing and started getting healed. They came expecting to receive something from Jesus. This lady came up on the stage and she said, "I'm sorry, I got healed." He said, "Why are you sorry?" She said, "Because I'm a Muslim." He said, "It's okay. Jesus loves Muslims too. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance." Amen. You know, there's a lot of Muslims getting born again. Did you know Jesus died for them? Sometimes people get caught up in the hate. And we don't hate Muslims. We do not hate Muslims whatsoever. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Amen. The sin is Islam. That's an evil religion. Love the Muslim. Now, that doesn't mean you be stupid. The Bible says to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Love the sinner. But see, one thing about a serpent, he'll never expose his eyes to being wounded. You can kick rocks at a snake and he'll hide his eyes. Don't open yourself up to be attacked. Amen. Love them, but don't open yourself up to be attacked. Amen. Now, Jesus never changes. His word never changes. His name and the right to use his name never changes. Never changes. All believers have the authority to use the name of Jesus in prayer and battle. His name belongs to us. There's two books I encourage you to get. Get your hands on and read them. They're both by Kenneth Hagin. The first one is the Believer's Authority. The second one is The Name of Jesus. And then there's another Kenneth that wrote a book about the name of Jesus. I can't remember. Huh? Well, Kenneth Hagin, yeah, but there's another. No. This is really old. This is back even before Kenneth Hagin. I can't remember his last name, but you guys got in contact with that book. I can't remember, but he wrote a really good book on the name of Jesus, but they both wrote good books on the name of Jesus and the believer's authority. It really walks you through on using the name of Jesus. And who you are in Christ and what your authority is. You should say this often. I have the right to use the name of Jesus. Only because you're born again. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the opportunity to be with you. Opportunity to operate in your kingdom. We thank you that we're part of the family because of the blood of Jesus, and that you've given us the authority to use the name of Jesus and operate and do the things like Jesus did. We thank you, Father, that each time we pick up your word and use your name, we have answers and we see things change. We understand that these natural things that we see are temporal and subject to be changed by the word of faith. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.